What a special day. I think that Mother's Day should be every day. But Mother's Day is a day that we take to remember our mothers. And I think back, and I think we all can, hopefully, you were inquisitive enough with your own parents to maybe ask some questions about your grandmother or your, if you're really young, or you remember the things if you're my age that your parents might have done. I remember that the stories of my grandmother, and I think my older siblings can remember this, but I can't. My grandmother, they lived in a little tiny house that when they needed more room, she raised six boys. When they needed more room, she would go out and she would find whatever she could and she would add on to it. And it was in a little poor community that no one had much in it, to be honest. But she would walk the railroad tracks in the wintertime and every day, and she would pick up coal that fell off the coal cars, because you remember back then they had the clickety-click rails and not ribbon rail, and the trains would rock a lot more, so she would find enough coal to put in her the coal stove to keep them warm. And she always planted a huge garden, and she managed to keep six boys raised and healthy and get them grown up as adults. And you know, the struggles our mothers go through, I can remember with my own mother, the hours and hours that she toiled in a sewing machine when I was young, making all of our clothes. And the garden that she kept was always just huge. And she was always canning and doing things. And I think a lot of us can remember that. That's kind of an, becoming somewhat of an era gone by. But even if you don't remember that, you do know of the times we can all think of where a mother reaches out and does very special things to take care of her children as they grow up. And the selfless time that she has when she puts her own time aside to take care of the needs of a child. And even your kids today that you can remember, and you know the times that, that she sits down to help with homework or something, that I'm sure that maybe she's had a long, hard day and is worn out but is still willing to look and help with homework and do those kind of things. You know, moms are there for us. And God did a very wonderful thing when he not only created the woman but designed the role of the mother and what the mother does. A mother's work is never done. I know dads think mine isn't either, but I'm telling you, a mother's work is never done. And, you know, also another thing is that, that young men learn to respect their mothers from their fathers, and that's an important thing to remember. The role that they see at home, does the husband truly love the wife? And the kids do watch that, and they see that. But this morning, I want to bounce through some passages, if I could, that talk about how God felt about how he took care of women. And some of the passages this morning, matter of fact, most of them, actually are dealing with widows and older mothers. And the reason that I bring that up is because I have to tell you that I really believe that today, as I look across culture and across America, we expect that our people to sustain themselves their entire life. And the struggle for older people to take care of themselves is real, and it shouldn't be. And it seems to be a culture gone by when people built on the extra room at home or had the little nanny college like a cottage like the Amish do, and to take care of family. And it's so important that we remember to do that. And it's not just something we should do, but it's something God said we do. And I want to look at that this morning. There's various passages in your bulletin. First one I wanted to go to, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, if I could. I won't be spending a lot of time on these this morning, so please try to follow along. And this was the first time in the Bible we see the role of the deacon coming up, and this was why. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution. And understand the Hellenists were basically, that was just the Greeks. That's the name for the Greeks. And the struggle was this, that, you know, hey, wait a minute. You guys are distributing to the widows as they need daily, but guess what? Ted, could you grab me something to drink? I'm sorry. It seems like the Hebrew ladies are getting taken care of, but the Greek ladies aren't. So God is certainly showing here that not only we take care of those in need across the board, and it was very important that we took care of widows. Understand that a widow in that day was typically had no means of income because there wasn't anything she did to earn income. So it was very, very difficult, and many times would resort to even begging. In James chapter 1, you know, I've come to the conclusion that if I would learn to quit talking so much before service, I probably wouldn't lose my voice once service starts. So if you guys see me talking, just tell me to shut up. James chapter 1, verse 27. I'll begin in verse 26 pretext to this. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, it is not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. The one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God, I love this, before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. You know, we know we're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, but how about the fact that we visit the orphans and the widows? Very important thing that we do. But here's, you know what I found interesting about that particular verse is that he put widows on the same plane as he did orphans. Now, it's obvious that we're to take care of orphans. Doesn't everybody have a soft place in their heart for an orphan? Well, God just put them on the same plane as the widow. So we're to have a soft place in our heart for the widow. I want to tell you something. Every widow out there is somebody's mother, isn't it? They're somebody's mother. To get lonely. I remember watching my mother when she was widowed and the grief that she went through and the struggle she went through. It was very hard. And of course, as you look back now that she's gone, I'm sure that I paid a good bit of attention to my mother because we were very close. But I still feel I should have done more. And I feel that I should have spent more time, as I know I'm sure Shirley does with her mom too. And we love our moms, and I want to tell you something. When mom's gone, she's gone until that day we see her in heaven. And when mom's there, we need to love and take care of mom and be there for her. I want to tell you something this morning, dads, husbands. It's just as much your job to make sure that your wife's mother is taken care of and loved as it is hers. And I want to tell you something, ladies. It's just as much your job with your spouse to make sure that your husband's wife or mother, and wife actually, mother is taken care of and loved. It's important. It's important that we know that our children love us, and God has just shown us in so many ways. But understand, he put a widow here on the same level as taking care of an orphan. And what he's telling you is that you need to have that same compassion taking care of a widow as you do taking care of the orphan. And then he says, and remain unspotted from the world. Isn't that interesting? Do what you should do first, and then remain unspotted from the world. See, we don't wait to become unspotted from the world before we do what we're supposed to do. I'll get my act together one of these days, and then when I do, I'll do all the things I should do, including taking care of my mother. No. You're right, it could be. We don't want any regrets, do we, Janice? We really don't. Let's look at our next passage this morning. Mark 12:42. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how many people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, Should have brought a mite this morning, Mike. I could have showed him how small a mite is and what it looks like. Very, very little coin, not worth much at all, was it? What was its relationship to a denarii, Mike?
Denarius is Roman, where the mite is a crouton, it was Judean, very small bronze. So it was just really pretty small.
The smallest of valued coins at the time in Hebrew. Or in Judean.
A fraction of a penny.
One poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrants. So he called the disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Ah, the faithfulness. Wouldn't that be a wonderful lesson for her children? For those around her? Understand, I want you to understand poor here, because we don't have a concept of poor in America. They say the 3%, the 3% poorest people in this country live better than 97% of the people in the world. So our concept of poor isn't the poor here with the widow. The widow usually had nothing. It was dependent on everyone else for anything that she had. And she gave all that she had because she knew that God was faithful and she loved him. Didn't say she had to put that in, did it? I remember of a time when I told my mother, and I was very young and very immature at the time. Some of you might say I'm very immature now, but I was really immature then. And I remember that my mom had decided that you know, and my mom was, I'll be honest with you, my mother was a poor widow. I remember a time when she actually was working 2.5 jobs to keep the three of us going after my dad was killed. It was very difficult. She hadn't worked out of the home, so she couldn't get a high-paying job. But she made the announcement that she was going to start giving 20% of her income to the Lord. And I said, "Are you out of your mind?" Not in those exact words. I'd have got spanked. But essentially what it amounted to was, "Are you crazy? We barely have anything in the house. I've got holes in my tennis shoes, and you're going to give 20% to the Lord?" She said, "Don't you understand? The Lord's taking care of us." And I have to tell you, God blessed her a lot later in her life in many ways. But we learn a lot from the widow. A faithful widow. A faithful mother. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 8. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. I know that in our current culture, this is a difficult thing for people to do because we seem in this strange culture, and it's only happened in the last generation or so, that we have gone from feeling that it is our moral, our ethical, and our godly duty to take care of parents to the last two generations, it's been, aren't our parents supposed to be taking care of us? And in their older years, shouldn't they have enough abundance that they can give to us? And we see that all the time. I know that Holly worked in nursing homes for quite a while when she was first out of college, and it was very sad to see the amount of moms in nursing homes that the kids just wanted to put there and get things done as quickly as possible. And even sometimes after their death, you know, when a call was made, you know, that your mother has died, well, isn't there someone who can just pick her up and do something with her? Because they want to make sure that there's something left for them. That's not the attitude of loving a mother and taking care of a mother. Let's go on this passage. It says, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. What are you repaying for? Do we forget what our mothers do for us? The years of them taking care of you and worrying over you. You know, it's hardest time when you're a teenager because mom is an obstacle. Mom many times is an obstacle to what you want to do. You've got an idea of what you want to do, things you want to do. You can't understand why she's saying it's wrong, especially when she says things like, you really don't need to be hanging out with that kid. And you think, how do you know? They're my friend. I heard this so many times. You're judging them. Yep, sure am. Been there, done that. And the truth is that I was right. Wasn't I, kids? Most of the time? Uh-huh. Yeah, you learn that later. But the point is, you know, mom does that. And mom can be an obstacle. But the one thing that you've got to understand is that mom loves you so much that she wants to protect you all the time and keep you from falling down in the world and keep others from hurting you. And she can see things that you don't see, and therefore that's what she does. And I have to tell you this morning, if you're a teenager, the sooner that you decide to listen to mom, the better off your life is going to be. That's just the way it is. Because mothers usually know best. Especially if she's a godly woman that's following the Lord. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers day and night. That's a godly widow. That's a godly mom. She takes that time. Her kids are raised. And she has that time to spend more in prayer, serving the Lord, loving the Lord. You know, one passage I didn't bring up this morning, but I would be wrong not to mention, is the passage where Paul brings into remembrance to Timothy his mother and his grandmother and how they taught him in the Word and how they raised him up to know what Scripture said. This is also something the mother does. Why is it, do you think, and this is interesting, we were talking about this morning in Sunday school that, you know, back when I was a kid, back in the Stone Age, mom and dad came to church. Most of the time it was mom and dad in church. I can remember one lady, Mrs. Wharton. That's how odd this was for this to even happen, because I can remember her. She was the only one in our church of probably about, her and Polly Bell. But anyway, of our church of about 150 members that brought her children to church without her husband. And because that was a rarity. Parents came together. But the mother, today you can see where that motherly role hangs on, because today usually about 50% of the church is moms bringing kids to church. See, mom's role has stuck even through a tough culture, because moms love their kids. Not that dads don't. But in this culture shift, moms still know and they understand, because God puts it in their heart to be a mother. You ever hear someone say that they have that motherly instinct? That many times women at a certain age desire to be a mother? It's because God put it in their heart. God put it in their heart to take care of their children, to love their children, to take care of their children, to see that their children do well. See, I have to tell you something this morning. If you're anything at all in what you've become, you owe it a lot to your mother. You truly do. Because if you really look back and you think of that moment in those times when your mother was there for you, when maybe no one else was, but mom was there. So it's up to us, Christian, to be there for mom, right? She's there for us. We finish this passage. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That hurts. You realize that? He's saying here that if you don't take care of your own, you are worse than an unbeliever. Now, I don't know how you can be worse than an unbeliever. That's bad. I think that what's being said here is that an unbeliever has a desire to serve only themselves. The desire is for self. That's why we won't surrender to the Lord. So you're saying don't be like an unbeliever and just desire self. You desire to take care of those who God has entrusted to you as family. That's what you do. And it's not just the parents taking care of the children, but at some point that role begins to reverse, and it's time now for children to take care of parents. Now, it's great when parents can be self-sufficient and healthy until they're gone and they don't need that so much. But let me tell you something. Just because they can take care of themselves financially does not mean that they don't need your love, your support, and your caring, and your comfort, because they do. I'm going to tell you something. I do when I do nursing home ministry, and I did a message a couple weeks ago, and the biggest problem that I see with these older people that they're struggling with is they're lonely. Why? Why? Most of them have kids that live right there in Marion. Why would they be lonely? Well, can't you just drop into mom's house? It's now a nursing home, but can't you drop into mom's house? My mom worked, one of my mom's three jobs was a nursing home that she worked at in Upper Arlington, First Community Village. And she said the most common thing she heard from older people in the nursing home was, "I wish I could just die. I'm that lonely." Wow. Guys, I want to tell you something. We got to love mom. It's Mother's Day. Let's all smile and be happy. I want you mamas to be happy, really happy. But I want to get across to you also that for mama to be happy, someone's got to love mama. You know what I mean? Kelly's shaking her head like, "Oh, Dad." But it's the truth. I mean, moms, it's not just sending her a flower or a rose or a card once in a while. Well, believe me, she loves them and needs them. Mom needs to know that she's loved the way that you were loved when you were a child, and she was there for you. We need to be there for mom. We really do.
Just because.
Huh?
Just because.
My last passage this morning is not one that I got written in the bulletin because I added it later, and it's in John chapter 19. Verses 25 and 26. We know what's going on here. Our Lord and Savior is hanging on the cross. What's one of the last things that he did? "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple who he loved, John, standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. Now, I want you to understand something. You say, well, wait a minute. You know, Mary, Jesus' mother, is only in her mid to late 40s at this point. Okay? But obviously, she was widowed at this point. Joseph had passed on. He wasn't there. Obviously, had he been there, he would still take care of his wife, as husbands are supposed to do. But he wasn't. And Jesus was the oldest son, and it was his responsibility to take care of his mother. But what was interesting about that, he didn't just pass it on to a younger brother. He chose John, one of the disciples, and said, John, I trust her to your care. Why? Because he wanted to trust someone that he knew and loved and could trust the very best with his mother's care. And said, John, this is your mom from this point forward. Mom, John just became your son. And it says from that hour, he didn't say, well, I got to think about this. You know, I got to look at my income, and we don't really have room for the woman. What are we going to do with her? No, he didn't say that. From that hour on, he took her into his home. He took care of her. One of the last things Jesus did was to make sure mom was taken care of. And it was so important that he made sure it was in Scripture and that you read it. Moms, some of you are kind of young right now, and you can kind of take care of yourself to a point. You have a spouse or not, but you don't need all that care, it seems like. But I know very well that being a mother can be a very lonely job sometimes. You feel like you have the burden of the world on your shoulders. You're concerned about every one of your children. You're concerned about the time you get to spend with them. When they come home crying, you want to cry. You don't know why. You want to come to their defense. All these things. Moms carry a huge load. But with that huge load, moms carry a great amount of joy, because I see the smile on your faces when your kids do well and the wonderful things they do. And you're so excited about all the neat things they're doing. And you just want to share it with everybody. Moms, being mom has its highs and its lows. But I have to remind you of something. The day will come when all that dependency on you that you have from your children is probably going to begin to fade. And you're going to say, now what do? I'm still mom. Well, trust me, you're never going to stop being mom. It's time to be a godly grandma. It's time to step in and show that same love at a distance. And that can be hard. It can be very hard, because we want to do what we did, and maybe daughter or daughter-in-law doesn't want to do what we did. And it's time sometimes we have to step back a little. But that day will come when you're going to need someone to show you and say, Mom, I just love you. Grandma, I just love you. And you're so busy right now that you don't really think about it all the time. But the best way to make sure that's going to happen, love Grandma. Love Mom. It's really important your kids see you doing that. I remember every Sunday growing up, unless something else was coming up that was important, every Sunday we would take the drive to see my grandmother, which is something we did. We lived a distance. We couldn't see her during the week. Dad worked long hours, but on Sunday, I really loved it when we'd go Sunday evening. I hope the later we'd go in the afternoon, the better. You know why? Because I knew we might get to miss church Sunday night. But we always went to see Grandma on Sunday. It's important that we love our moms. I want to challenge you this morning to do something. If your relationship with your mother isn't what it should be, rekindle that relationship. Show your mother the love that you have for her. Show your mother that no matter what, you're always going to be there to take care of her and to make sure she's not hurting. One of the greatest gifts I ever gave my mother was 2 weeks before she died. And my mom had a great concern that some in the family and one of her siblings wanted to put her in a place to be taken care of. And I went over to see Mom and I talked to her. And I said, let me tell you something, Mom. I said, as long as you can breathe, as long as you can walk, as long as you can get to that bathroom and to that kitchen from that chair that you love to sleep in. And she was surrounded by everything. She had her knitting. She had her radio. She had her TV. She had her Bible. She had her health stuff. I mean, it was just like all around her. And I said, as long as you can go from there, get something neat and get into the bathroom, no one's going to bother you. But I said, when that day comes, if it isn't me or Shirley, one of the kids is going to be here to make sure you're okay. But you are not going to go anywhere. And it gave her such peace and joy that within days, she was out driving again and going to all the places she loved. And she went out, the day she died, she went and had her hair done. And she just did all kinds. She went shopping to like 3 different places because she had that freedom and knew that she was loved. And no matter what was going to happen, I was going to make sure that she didn't get swept under the rug. And that last day that she lived, oh, she went everywhere. And then she came home and she died. Now, it's very possible, had I not told her that, she might have lived longer because she might not have done all that running. But you know what? She had joy and she knew that she was loved. Rekindle that relationship. Love Mom. If it's just a phone call, love your mom. It's so important. The mother is the most blessed role that I believe God put in the Bible. Just look through it. All the references to a mother. Jesus could have came to this form in any form that God chose. Do you realize that? God could have sent his son here to cover sin as a man if he chose to. Jesus could have come in any form as a little boy that just showed up in a village. But God said, the Son of God needs a mother to nurture, to raise, and to love him. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all that you give me. I thank you for my mother. Lord, I thank you for the witness and testimony my mother was growing up. Lord, I thank you for every mother here, and I ask you, Lord, to give them strength each and every day as they raise their children, as they deal with the struggles of the day, to find the joy even in the difficult things. And I pray for all of us here today that if our mother's still here, that we can show her great love. And Lord, if she's already gone home or she's not here, that, Lord, we can remember the great joys of that. And maybe reach out to someone else's mother that doesn't have anyone there for them, that we would love and embrace them. I thank you for this day. Be with us today as we go out and we spend time with family, Lord, that it'll be a gracious and a good day together. Lord, I thank you for every beautiful woman here today. In your precious name, amen.
You'll stand with us this morning. We're going to sing on the screen, Oceans.